Now, with a musical CV as long as your arm, Jeff Brown has played with some of the biggest names in rock. For 16 years, Jeff performed with Sweet and then was snapped up by iconic 60s band, the Tremolos. Jeff has recently been working on a solo album, 23 Years, due to be released next month. And I'm pleased to say he joins me now. Welcome, Jeff.
Oh, cheers, bro. Finally made it.
Ah, you're on time. You're all right. You had a bit of trouble in the car, didn't you?
Well, I was thinking I could have done with your traffic report in half an hour ago.
Oh, well, you're here now. That's the main thing. So, where do we start? Now, you've had a fantastic career working with some of the greats over many years. It's hard to do it all justice in a relatively short radio interview. but I guess the beginning's a good place. So, when did you first pick up the guitar?
I was about 14, I think, when I did my first gig.
Right.
Yeah.
14. So, where did this guitar come from?
Place called Alan Gordon Studios in Markhouse Road, Walthamstow.
Okay. Yep. You're an East End boy, aren't you?
I am an East End boy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're born in Stratford, yeah? Did you stay around that area very long?
Yeah, I mean, well, my parents lived in Leighton.
Yeah.
Leightonstone, around that area. Selby Road, if I remember.
Okay.
And I stayed there pretty much till sort of mid-teens, and then moved to suburban then, up to Chingford.
Right, okay.
And and then basically when I moved out, I moved all around London, ended back up in Walthamstow for quite a few years.
Yeah, great.
I was playing with band Sam Apple Pie back those days.
Right, yeah.
That was the late 70s.
Yeah, I mean, the number of bands you've played in are endless, aren't they, really? We'll get to that later. But anyway, I mean, as a young lad, then who were your major influences? What music did you listen to?
A lot of Deep Purple.
Really?
Yeah, I love Deep Purple. Yeah. Free. Right. Bit of Creedence, because my brother was 5 years older than me, so I had a lot of his records were being played. So, yeah, most people my age were sort of getting in the disco scene and all that sort of thing from the early mid-70s sort of thing. But, for me, it was always, I liked a bit of glam stuff.
Yeah.
I liked, that's your phone going.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. I just realised I've left mine in the car. No, but I glam bands. I mean, I always liked Slade. Slade were actually, fun enough, my favourite band of the time.
Right.
Sweet were a little bit too bubblegum at the time, until a friend of mine's sister, who's the guy who was actually a drummer in my first ever band, his older sister was playing all the B-sides, the Sweet stuff, and suddenly it was like, hang on, what's this?
Right, okay.
And then it was echoes of Deep Purple and a bit of Zeppelin in there, so I thought, there's another side to this band.
Right.
I never knew then, obviously.
Okay. Well, who'd have thought you could have gone on to perform with them, you know?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, amazing. Now, I want to play a track from your new solo album in a moment, but I should tell you, we've just had a message through on our email that says, best of luck with the new CD. My copy's already ordered. Lots of love, Leslie Farley, a.k.a. the Cat Lady.
Yeah.
Who's Leslie?
Leslie's just a really nice lady who's come to a lot of shows with one of my other bands.
Right.
And, she's a lovely lady. I only met her a couple of times, but properly introduced once or twice. But, no, really lovely girl.
Yeah, great. Oh, well, thanks very much,
thanks, Leslie.
We'll dedicate this next one to you. Now, I've only heard a few tracks from the solo album, and I've got to say, I love it, what I've heard.
Thank you.
Particularly the one that may be a single, I believe, but we'll be hearing that one later.
Sure.
We'll play this one now, just for Leslie. It's Jeff Brown and When the Love Is Gone.
I've been down this lonely road. I've had dreams come and go. I've had my share of broken hearts. The pain of love I know. I've been waiting all my life just to have you by my side, to have a home forevermore and to know.
absolutely fantastic. That's a power ballad and a half, that is, isn't it? It's Jeff Brown and When the Love Is Gone. Jeff, that is great.
Oh, thanks.
Love it. Oh, I best turn your microphone on, really. That helps, yeah. Who's playing the guitar solo on that?
It's actually the producer, the guy who remastered and remixed the whole album for me, a guy called Peter Brander.
Okay.
He's a Danish producer. In Copenhagen, and we had a few sound problems on the original solo, which was recorded back in Germany about a year or so ago. And it was easier, he said, I hope you don't mind, but it was easier for me to do a whole new solo and put some new acoustic guitars on. I hope you don't mind. And that's what he sent back, and it's just so much better.
Absolutely. On the original.
Yeah, I was so pleased with that.
Really love that. Really like it. Now, going back a bit again, we'll go back to the 80s. Now, you joined British heavy metal band Wildfire in 1982, whose frontman originally was Iron Maiden vocalist Paul Mario Day, I believe. You released two studio albums and toured the world with them. How did you get involved in Wildfire?
Funnily enough, I was actually working for a PA company in Lambeth, a company called Tasco Sound, and they had a subsidiary called Show Trucking. And I was working up there, and I had to go to a place in Chelsea, Lots Road, to a lighting place. And a friend of mine was working there, and he said, hey, listen, I know a band that's looking for a bass player.
Right.
You interested? And I was playing for that other band that you said you want to mention a little bit later on.
Oh, yeah,
And he said, are you interested? It's like a new wave of British heavy metal band, which was exactly what I wanted to do.
Right.
So I said, yeah, I'm interested. So he passed my number on, and then the guitarist, Martin Bushell, telephoned me, came round to see him at the house, we talked, then we went to the studio and we jammed, and that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
And how long did that last? That was a year or two, was it?
Wildfire, no, it was till about, I would say, 85, 85, yeah. It was for about three or four years, really.
And then there was State Trooper.
State Trooper, yeah, which came out of the ashes of Wildfire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fine.
All right, then in 1987, you were invited to join glam rock legend Sweet as bass player, alongside the original guitarist Andy Scott, the original drummer Mick Tucker, and vocalist Mel McNulty. Now, to fit in with an established band like that, is that a difficult thing to do? Do you have to sort of curb your own artistic contribution?
To an extent, but not too much, because it was music that I liked. I mean, going back to sort of when we're saying about the heavier stuff that Sweet did, I mean, that was the kind of music I liked anyway.
Right, yeah.
And I knew the Sweet because, when Wildfire split, our Paul Mario Day actually went and joined the Sweet.
Oh, okay.
He actually joined the Sweet. And then when we formed State Trooper, we had Gary Barden, formerly of Michael Schenker Group, he came in. And we still knew each other, and we'd still see the Sweet at the Marquee Club and everything. But they were doing different versions of the song. So you had a bit more, it wasn't quite so strict.
And you could put your own stamp on it.
You could, you could. As long as you kept the essence of what was the original.
Yeah.
They weren't too strict about sort of changing it. It's only when we recorded the original songs, when we did the Glitz Blitz and Hits and the Chronology albums, which were like the re-records of the original hits.
Yeah.
That's when we went back to the faithful versions.
Sure.
Exactly what was recorded before.
Yeah.
But prior, it was live, you had a bit of leeway with it.
Yeah. And so you were bass player and vocalist, I think, weren't you? Sweet.
I joined originally just as the bass player and doing backing vocals, and then there was a period where Mal left, and we had another singer, Chad, come in for a couple of years, and then he left halfway through a tour, and we had to finish the tour.
Right.
So Andy said, "Well, look, you sing it." Yeah. That was it. So,
you have sung Little Willie a few times.
Then? I have introduced as diminutive William. I've sung it. I was actually lead vocalist, bass player for about five, six years in the end. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was saying earlier on, it was spooky that our computer throws up a playlist every hour for us to play, and this hour, second track in the list was Sweet and Little Willie. Well, there you go. What about
there you
that?
Go.
Anyway, you stayed for 16 years touring non-stop with Sweet, and you won a new army of fans along the way with that harder edge that you developed. Then you joined the Tremolos.
Yeah.
How did that one happen?
Well, after a break with Sweet... I sort of just took a couple of years to, as people say, you know, a sabbatical of some sort. You were just getting things together. I didn't know really what I was going to do at that point. It was a bit of a strange time. But I knew the Tremolos because we'd done a lot of work with Sweet and Slade and Smokey and Susie Quattro all around Germany.
Right.
And the Tremolos were always on the bill. And they were a great bunch of guys. They really were.
Yeah.
And anyway, I just got a phone call from Dave Munden, the original drummer. Local boy.
Right.
Dagenham.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And he said their bass player had just basically left.
Okay.
He went to Germany for Christmas and never came home again. So he phoned me up and said he knew that I was looking for a gig. So he said, "You're interested?" I said, "Yeah, why not?" You know, I mean, they're great guys. Lovely blokes, they really, really are. And you can't argue with the songs they've got.
No, no.
Not really my thing
when
it comes to the music, but they're great songs. And I love music in general, and I love playing good songs.
Yeah.
And so I said, "Yeah, I'm interested." He said, "One thing, can you sing Silence is Golden?"
I said, "Oh, that's a bit high, isn't it?"
It's a little bit high, but I said, "Well, yeah, I can." And he said, "Oh, good, you're in."
Brilliant.
And that was it, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, we're going to hear a couple more tracks from your new solo album, 23 Years. And I'd like now to play When the Love is Gone. No, we've just played that. That's a case of the hand doesn't know what the brain's doing, I think. Sorry.
I just put it out of age with me.
Yeah, well, it's me as well, and I'm older than you, so there you go. Sorry, I do beg your pardon.
No problem.
We are going to now play the track that I intended to play at the start.
That's what I thought.
Got it round the wrong way. Never mind. There you go. We're all human. This one is Once in Every Lifetime.
Yeah.
Tell us about this one, Jeff. It seems to be bit about grabbing the opportunity when it presents itself,
kind of. I suppose in a way, I suppose it is slightly autobiographical, in the respect that you know, it's about fighting against all the odds just to get where you want and never say die. Because you never know what's around the next corner, so you just go for it. And
absolutely,
it's a positive song.
Yeah, and you've carried that along with you all the way, have you?
Pretty much.
Yeah, good for you. All right, it's Jeff Brown, Once in Every Lifetime.
Heading for the top, nothing's gonna stop me. Breaks like this come once in every lifetime.
Oh, love it. That's Jeff Brown and Once in Every Lifetime. It's a bit good, this new album, isn't it, Jeff?
Oh, nice of you to say so.
Well, you know, I've heard these tracks, I don't know, probably three or four times each now, and they've really, really got into me, especially the one we're going to play next. But, they're earworms, all of them. You find yourself singing them a few minutes after you heard them, you know.
Well, I mean, obviously, that's exactly the result I was hoping for. Yeah. I mean, I'd say I've always been in sort of bands with Wildfire, State Trooper, in the Sweet. It's all been about catchy songs, and harmonies. That's the kind of thing I really like. I like a lot of the modern heavy metal per se music.
Yeah.
But sometimes they lack a little bit of melodies for me. Like the guitars are normally playing 1,000 notes a minute. I like to hear melodies being played.
Yeah.
And in Wildfire and State Trooper, that was all the guitarist, Mike and Jeff, they were always masters at that kind of thing.
Sure.
So that's what I've tried to install in the German guys, actually, because I've got two German guitarists on here.
Right.
There used to be a band called Warlock.
Doro
Pesch, you know, like the German version of British heavy metal, if you like. If that's a word, British heavy metal in Germany. But that's what they were copying, all what the British heavy metal did. They were amazing guitarists, but I had to rein them in a little bit to play the kind of solos that I wanted. But they've done an incredible job.
Fascinating. Yeah. Now, in 2005, you embarked on your own project, the Original Jukebox Heroes, who you're still touring with today. You've just come back from Belgium with them, haven't you?
Yeah.
Tell us about the band, Jeff, and what it's all about.
It's basically guys that have original players and long-standing members of big-name bands that you know.
Yeah.
We've got Pete Phipps, the original drummer of the Glitter Band, but he's also played with XTC, the Eurythmics, wow. and yeah. God knows how many. He's done so many sessions. He's a great drummer. He's a complete powerhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know how he keeps going, but he does. And on guitar, rhythm guitar and lead vocal, we've got a guy called Steve Wally, who was 15 years with Slade. He actually, when Slade reformed, he basically took Noddy Holder's place.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that's no easy gig.
No, absolutely. I watched a little bit of video this morning that was taken in Belgium, and he was the guy singing the lead vocals on that. And
yeah, that would be My Oh My, actually.
That's right, My Oh My. Yeah. And he's got it, hasn't he?
He can do that.
Almost that voice, can't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I mean, you know? he's fantastic at it. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And on lead guitar, we've got two guitarists at the moment because we have to switch between the two. We've got a guy called Phil Hendricks, who's actually playing with Les McEwan's Bay City Rollers.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's on a 64-day tour at the moment, so we had to get another guitarist, a guy called Wayne Anthony, who also plays with Paper Lace as well. Wayne's quite a rocky guitarist, so he's a bit younger than us, but he's just done an amazing job standing and playing for us.
Yeah.
On keyboards, we've got a guy called Dave Major. He's playing with T-Rex, and he's also been doing there's a theatre show called Vampire Rocks.
Okay.
That's been going around. He's a great player. He's been playing with T-Rex for about 15, 20 years now.
Right.
Started off with Mickey Finn.
Yeah.
Reformed it. So it was a Mickey Finn's version of T-Rex, obviously not Mark. And on percussion, drums, and also lead vocals. Everybody in the band is a lead vocalist. Six in the band, and we're all lead singers. So, which is good because everybody takes a turn.
Yeah.
But on percussion, we've got Phil Wright, who was the original drummer and the original voice of Paper Lace.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, and he still sounds exactly the same. His voice. He's got amazing voice, Phil.
Right.
Great range. And he's like the Energizer Bunny. He never stops. He just keeps going. He's fantastic. But everybody gets on well. We only play songs from the bands that we've played in.
Right.
We don't cover anything else. So our set list is Sweet, Slade, Glitter Band, Paper Lace, T-Rex, and the Bay City Rollers. That's our set.
It's glam rock, isn't it?
Yeah, and two one-hour sets, bang. Straight
fantastic. And what a wealth of experience and talent up on that stage when you're all there. Yeah, fabulous.
The only thing is, it's like having a bunch of unruly sheep. It's really difficult to keep them all in one place.
And now you've joined another band as well, Cats in Space.
Yeah, Cats.
You've got an album coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
What are Cats in Space all about?
It's the brainchild of a guy called Greg Hart. Greg has written songs with Asia. He's actually writing with Mick Wilson from 10cc. He's an amazing songwriter, and he had this vision of this like retro 70s album, but with a contemporary twist when it comes to production and things like that.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was Rebecca who was sitting in the corner over there.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
My PA.
Yes.
Who actually put me in touch with him because I was looking for a guitarist to help me out on a session. And she put me in touch with Greg, and we spoke, and we realised that we knew each other from the Marquee days back in the early 80s.
Right.
But we hadn't really met properly, but we knew all the same people. And he said, look, I've got a project coming up, Cats in Space, are you interested?
Right.
I need a bass player who's got that vibe of a rock and a 70s feel. And I said, yeah, of course I'm interested. So he basically sent me some demos, and I went down to the studio beginning of this year, 3 days in the studio with him. We put this album, I've done all the bass on it. Most of the album is already recorded, and I just put the bass down. And then I met with the rest of the guys in the band, and we just clicked.
Fantastic.
All just clicked. And the reviews that Cats in Space is getting at the moment, so I'm keeping an eye on the time.
That's all right. So we were supposed to stop for the news at 2 o'clock, but we're going to postpone the news because this is far too interesting. All right, carry on, Jeff.
Yes, basically, we all just got like a house on fire, and the reviews it's getting are absolutely incredible. I mean, 11 out of 10, some magazines are giving
it. Fantastic.
And we've done a few videos. And the first video, Mr. Heartache, which is the first single, that's hit the YouTube. I think it's been out for about 4 weeks now, it's on 7,000 views already.
Wow, yeah.
So it's really taking, and things are just taking off. It's looking really good.
Right.
So
you're in Cats in Space, the original Jukebox Hero. You've got your solo stuff. Are you still with the Tremolos?
I am. I've got a show with Tremolos tomorrow night.
Do you ever get confused when you're up on stage?
Constantly. Constantly.
What band am I with tonight? Where am I?
Yeah. If you ever see me sliding the hand up and down the neck of the guitar, it's because I've forgotten my notes on.
So, and as we mentioned before, as if all that isn't enough, you're about to release your first solo album, 23 years. After all those years working in a pre-established band, was it good to unleash your own songs in your own way? Was it a kind of release, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a short, sweet answer on that one. Yes, definitely. Because as a bass player, unless you run the band normally, it's hard to get your own songs across to people.
My son complains of that constantly. Yeah. He's a bass player in
a
band.
It's
one
of those things. I mean, most of the big major songwriter bass players are the leaders of their own bands.
Right,
You'll see. Iron Maiden, Thin Lizzy with Phil Lynott, you know, they're all there. It's Level 42. It's very difficult as a bass player, normally with a guitarist, are normally more musical than bass players are. Yeah. I'm sure I'll get bass players having a go at me for saying that, but generally speaking, to get the chance to do this for me was great. I mean, it's very cathartic in a way. It was great to get them out there, and I've loved doing it. I really have loved doing it. You know, I'm still writing now, so I'm sort of putting stuff together for another album.
Right. So these are all your songs on the solo album. Yeah. How long have they been around? Have you written them over the years, or you've written them recently?
I've had ideas swimming around at the back of my head for a long time, and when we're writing with other people and with other bands, we're writing albums, I've put forward ideas that I've come into my head, not formulated as full songs. It was only about two or three years ago when somebody said to me, hey, look, why don't you do an album, that I thought, okay, you know what, I'm going to, and then I started putting all my ideas together.
Yeah.
So they weren't old established songs, they were just ideas I had, but I put it all together like two or three years ago. This would have been ready to come out last year had I not had a problem with the original production and the original mastering.
Yeah.
And that's why it took another year until I found this Peter Brander in Denmark who saved the album.
Well, he's done a fantastic job.
He really did.
Well, now, in your time, you've played alongside some big rock icons, haven't you? Mm. People like Ian Gillan from Deep Purple and Bernie Marsden from Whitesnake.
Yeah.
I'm sure there've been lots of highlights, but if you could really relive just one moment, what would it be?
God. Ian Gillan was my hero as a singer. I loved that, and I was actually working with Bernie Marsden at the time, and Bernie was writing a single with Ian Gillan called South Africa.
Right.
And that's when I was invited down to the studios to do some backing vocals. Ian Gillan was there. He didn't know who the hell I was.
Right.
No idea whatsoever, but he was standing like 2 feet the other side of me, and I'm singing just a few harmony lines, and there's Gillan sort of looking at me going, dude, go up a bit. That was a highlight. But I mean, I had so many, you know, with Sweet, we had so many fantastic times going. That was a real roller coaster. When the good times were good, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult to sort of pick out one. I think when I actually finally, because I haven't got a copy of my own CD yet. I'll pick it out when I go back to Belgium on Saturday. I go back to Belgium on Saturday and I'll actually get a copy then. That'll be a highlight for me to finally have that in my hand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Well, and to take you right back again, what about Dumpy's Rusty Nuts?
Dumpy's Rusty Nuts. Brilliant. I mean, that was a great time, you know?
Yeah.
Dumpy used to run a PA company. I was actually playing with a band called Salt at the time, and Dumpy and his friend used to run a PA company called Earring PA. And he said he needed a bass player, and I went down to jam at his place, and then suddenly there I was out on tour with the blues, supporting a blues band for about 4 or 5 UK tours.
Fantastic.
Dumpy was great. I mean, it was
a biker band, wasn't it?
It was a good time, fun rock biker band, yeah. and there was no one like Dumpy. He was a one-off. I'm telling you, he was amazing. And you know, I haven't seen him in years. I'd love to see him again.
Yeah.
He was a real character, Dumpy. Good guitarist and a good singer, actually. Right. You know, a lot of it got lost in comedy at the time.
Okay.
But he was he still is, because he's still playing.
Right,
he's great.
Yeah, and you got quite a bit of play on Radio 1 with that, didn't you?
We did, but we that's when we had to change the name. Dumpy's Rusty Nuts apparently was too suggestive for apparently Radio 1 DJs at the time, and we had to change the name back to Bolts,
right,
which didn't have the same ring to it.
No, not really. This was just, early 70s, wasn't it, I think?
This would have been 79,
oh, 70, a bit later,
yeah, about 79, something like that, yeah. But I think he went back to Bolts, went back to Nuts after that, because we thought it didn't make much difference to the Radio 1 airplay anyway at the time. So, yeah, truth be known.
Brilliant. Well, do you know what? It's been great to talk to you, Jeff. We've even postponed the news for you. So,
I can't believe you've done that.
We're going to play out with a great track from the album Crazy World in a minute. But first, can you tell us where we can find out a bit more about you? Because there's a lot to learn. And where can we get the album?
I should actually ask my PA.
Fine. Rebecca, come and tell us, shall you? Wait a minute.
You can get the album on Amazon.
Yeah.
And
come in a bit, that's it.
Don't be shy.
And all good record stockists. And if you go to www.jeffbrownrocks.com, you can find out everything you need to find out from there.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rebecca. Go. Well done. You weren't expecting that, were you?
She's gone red now. You can see the face. The room has suddenly heated up.
You're all right. You're fine. Thanks, Jeff.
That's
it's been
right.
Brilliant. Thanks for coming in and chatting.
That's been a pleasure, Bob.
So finally, Crazy World. Tell us about the song and introduce it for us, please.
Well, as Bob said, this is a song, Crazy World. It's off my new album, 23 Years. It's just a good time rock and roll song that I love playing. You know, it's a happy tune.
Right.
Enjoy it, everybody, and thanks very much.